Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power op dit vroege uur op zondagmorgen. Fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt. Rick Tramonto vertelt zijn verhaal in de Crystal Cathedral. Hij is een chefkok, treedt veel op in beroemde televisie-kookprogramma's, maar toen zijn vader in de gevangenis kwam, vluchtte hij in drank en alcohol. Sheila Coleman-Schuller praat over het feit dat je je naaste lief moet hebben als jezelf, het grote gebod. En Roger Williams speelt in de Crystal Cathedral die bekende oude musicus die zo fantastisch kan spelen. En Autumn Leaves is een lied wat van zijn hand komt, een heel bekende melodie. En ik zit hier omringd door de Janssen Vijf. Van Nederlandse afkomst, ze wonen nu in Canada, ze maken prachtige muziek, hebben opgetreden in een aantal kerken in Nederland en zitten nu hier. En straks gaan we met ze kennis maken en voor nu spelen ze uit de twee Hongaarse dansen van Johannes Brahms, de Rhapsody. Friends, 1, 2, go! Geweldig. Een soort jonge André Rieutjes hier op, bij Hour of Power. Wij gaan over naar de Crystal Cathedral en ik hoop dat u genoten heeft van deze muziek. Ze komen straks nog terug, de Janssen Vijf.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
This is a great place. Anybody here that's never been here before? Oh my goodness. Thank you very much. Where did you come from? Germany? Iowa. I've heard of that. Yep, I'm born in Iowa. Well, welcome. This is a great place because the people who come here are coming not just for entertainment. You've come here to have an experience with God, and that you are having right now. For I am speaking the words that God is pouring out of my lips. Welcome to his house. Now, let's pray. God, I don't have any idea where everybody's coming from, but I know, Lord, that most of them really love you. They believe in you, and they know they need you, and they're trusting you, and they're praying and believing that this morning is going to be special in their life. So their hearts are opening to you, and we are praying that you will meet them where they need it most.
Story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and love.
be seated. Thank you for filling this auditorium with your glory to God through singing and voices. Now, hear the word of Scripture. It is from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Wow, this is an invitation to church, the synagogue that Jesus attended. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You may notice that that Bible verse is in brass at the grand entrance to this cathedral grounds. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
To you. Wow. Rick Tramonto has helped create several fine dining restaurants, including True, a four-star establishment in Chicago. Rick began working as a high school dropout with learning disabilities, and his father was in prison, and he started working at the age of 16 at Wendy's Hamburgers alongside founder Dave Thomas. His culinary career progressed and included cooking at the legendary Tavern on the Green in New York City and other fine establishments. Rick quickly became one of the top celebrity chefs in the world, appearing on Oprah, The Today Show, Iron Chef America, and serving as a judge on Top Chef. And I'm going to invite Rick up because that's an amazing career which you've just heard. What you will be more amazed at is the background of where he come from and how he got there. Let's welcome Rick Tramonto. Wow. I started reading this a few days ago. It's called Scars of a Chef, Rick Tramonto. And if you can see that picture, you see that stern guy on the cover. Very stern. And my wife goes, flip the book around. So I did this. And I discovered a teddy bear. And when he walked in this morning, that's truly the case, because Jesus shines through you so easily.
Yeah, I mean, that's what God does. He softens our heart and he gets inside of there and he...
And that wasn't always the case. Tell us about your childhood.
You know, it was certainly a dark, dark journey for me. You know, grew up in a very traditional Italian household, and my only child, which is kind of strange for an Italian family, but my dad went to prison when I was 16, and our whole world kind of fell apart. My parents would, you know, they argued a lot, they fought a lot, but the hard part was when you lose everything and you start over again, things become hopeless and things become very dark, and I got into lots of drugs and alcohol and quit high school at ninth grade, and wasn't equipped with any academic skills, any, you know, I didn't learn to read till I was 28. I didn't read my first book. Think about that. I didn't read my first book until I was 28 years old.
Well, when I was reading, what was so interesting was your father was a treasurer for the unions.
He was, for the hotel restaurant.
For the hotel restaurant unions, and was embezzling from the unions to help support the family.
Yes, sir.
And basically dealing with mob elements.
That's right.
And that's what ended up sending him to prison, which, I mean, you're growing up in the midst of that.
Yeah, certainly was. And you know, unfortunately, I became my dad's confidant. So as a 15, 16-year-old kid, my dad would tell me things that were above my pay grade and that were certainly very difficult to understand and to break down. But when the feds came and seized our home and we lost everything at that point, it became very, very real. It was very, very disturbing. And I would always ask, you know, God, where are you? I grew up in a very traditional Catholic church and just couldn't find where God was at that time. And, you know, I do have to mention at this point, though, I think what's really important is I need to thank you, Dr. Schuller, because the one thing in my mom's life that was a huge blessing in very, very dark times was our power in you. My mom had very little faith, but she was very faithful in watching Christ work through you and the things. She was so distraught. She was so distraught, and when the police came and took my dad and we lost our home and we moved back into an apartment, the one thing that my mom never stopped doing was watching you and watching your show. And she went into a very deep, dark depression. And the only light that I saw in my mom's eyes for 2 years after that was through you. And I thank you for that.
Thank you, thank you. Thank the people, Jim. Thank the people.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Schuller says, well, you thank him.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for keeping Hour of Power on the air. It's very expensive. Your gifts and your prayers have made it happen. And I'm so grateful for this testimony. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Well, it's
sorry,
your...
Brother.
No, please. That's wonderful. That's very important.
Yeah.
And your escape through this time of dealing with your father going to prison,
yeah.
and your mom and dad fighting like they did when you were growing up was drugs and alcohol.
Drugs and alcohol and work, becoming a workaholic. I started at Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers. There was a restaurant that was going to open, a new fast food restaurant in Rochester, New York, where I grew up. It was the very first Wendy's in upstate New York. And I went and knocked on the back door and asked if I could fill out an application. And when it came time to check the box that said, do you have a high school diploma? I said no. And thought, okay, you know, I could start my whole life out as a lie right now, or I could not. And a gentleman walked over and sat down and said, I noticed you didn't check that you have a high school diploma. I said, no, sir, I just need a job. I said, if you just give me an opportunity, if you just give me a chance, you know, I'm a really hard worker. I really need a job. And I kind of started to share with him what had happened in the last year of my life. And he turned to me and he said, you know, I've had some really hard times as well. I was an orphan. I had struggled as a young kid. And my name's Dave Thomas. And I'm here to open up this new franchise in upstate New York. And I would love to give you an opportunity. And I worked for Wendy's for about 2.5 years. And it changed my life. It gave me some great hope and some purpose. And I thought, you know, my grandmother and my grandfather and my mom and my dad always cooked a lot as a kid growing up. So I understood food. I knew I needed to start in the workforce, and I could go work at a gas station. I could go work in construction. There were certain options that I had at that age as a young kid. But I said, you know, I kind of understand the food business, and I'm going to give it a shot. And Dave Thomas gave me that shot, and I never looked back. And 33 years later, who'd have thought, right?
Yeah. Well, it's amazing your journey that you became the success that you did, because, you know, if I find it here, you talked about how even through that journey, as you're progressing through restaurants and all of that, you know, drugs were still chasing you in this industry.
Absolutely.
And with some of your coworkers at one of the restaurants, they were partying at one point and gave you some acid mm-hmm. that you took.
Yep.
And you talk about here in the book about after you had done that, you literally saw demons chasing you.
Yes.
And that kind of felt like to me that was kind of a change in your life. That started you on a journey back towards God.
Yeah, I didn't think I was ever going to come back from that drug trip, and I thought that it was a 3-day almost overdose like experience, and I had some very good friends that kind of got me to a hospital and worked me through it. And when I came out, it was one of those promises to God. And you know, we always make promises to God that we can't keep, but the beautiful thing about the Word of God is God's promises he always keeps. God will never leave us or forsake us. And at the end of the day, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you know, you don't have to promise me everything, anything. You just need to know what God is promising you. Mm-hmm. And I took that to heart, and I just, you know, I asked God to help me through this addiction and to give me wisdom and to give me faith to continue on in my culinary career. It's a very difficult industry. There's a lot of access and excess to alcohol and drugs. So I thought, God, you know, do I need to get out of this field? Am I really going to have the strength? I guess it would be like an alcoholic who is a bartender. You know, can you be around it and surrounded by it and feel fully healed in the fact that you have to be that light in a dark place? Mm. And I feel the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, this is your journey. I'm going to give you the platform to give hope to not only the restaurant industry, but to young kids that have struggled like you've struggled through your journey. And I have 3 teenage boys, as we were talking about backstage. And I said, you know, the biggest hope that I have is just to continue to tell them about God's love and to keep bringing God's amazement to their life and showing them, just looking around and seeing how blessed we are.
Yeah. There's a lot of, first of all, before I ask that question, I really wanted to ask you, you heard a radio show. I mean, because it's interesting how you went through all of this and then how you actually came to Christ. At what point was the bottom? At what point did you say, Lord, I surrender to you?
Yeah, I had gone through the Wendy's thing and worked at a steakhouse for a few years after that, and then left upstate New York to go to Manhattan through 8 years of the 80s to work at the tavern, and then relocated back into Chicago because my first wife was from there, and opened up a string of restaurants that were hugely successful. Opened up a restaurant called Trio, Brasserie Tea, and then True. and True became this phenomenon. And within 5 years of True, we had won 3 James Beard Awards. I had written 4 cookbooks, gotten shows on the Food Network. Everything seemed to be magic as far as the industry goes. And I was at the top of my game. I was so depressed. I was still backsliding. I was still in a place of the drugs and the alcohol chasing me. And I remember driving to work one day, and by this time I was definitely a full-blown workaholic, doing 80 hours a week and just burning the candle at both ends. And it was that moment in time where you feel like, is this it? Is this all of it? And I just felt I had very, it just got very dark and very depressed, and my mom had died a few years before then. And just felt suicidal and felt like I was going to a very negative place and wasn't sure if I was going to even make it to work that day. And I remember it pouring down and driving down the Edens Expressway and turning on the radio, and a pastor came on the radio talking about the Mary and Martha story. And his name was Pastor Gregory Dickow from Life Changers Church. And the story was, Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things, but you don't worry about the important things in life, which is me. And it, I remember just pulling over to the side of the road in this middle of this rainstorm and listening to the rest of the message and hearing about God's love and hearing about the importance of placing God first in your life. And all things will come after that. And I remember calling into work and saying, I'm not going to be in today. I've never called into work ever in my life. Turned my truck around, drove 45 minutes out to Barrington to find Life Changers Church campus, walked into a campus, and you got to remember, I grew up in a Catholic church my whole life, so I was looking for a steeple, I was looking for stained glass, and I came upon a building, and I walked into the lobby, and I said, is this Life Changers Church? And they said, yeah. I said, is there a Pastor Gregory Dick out here? I said, yes. I said, was there a story called Sitting at the Feet of Jesus about the Martha and Mary story? And she said, yeah. She gave me a tape series. And she goes, you're going to need this. And she handed me a Bible. And I bought my first Bible at that time. And I got back in my truck. I drove back home. I spent 2 days, Friday and Saturday, listening to the tape series, poring over the Word of God. Sunday, going back to that church, walking down the aisle, committing my life to Christ, and never look back. Mm. 14 years later, I've been attending Life Changers.
You know, Rick Tramonto, God loves you, and so do I. And thank you for sharing your story. God bless you. God bless you.
Het koor zong het indrukwekkende Living for Jesus. En dat wil ook de Janssen 5. Met hun muziek willen ze mensen bemoedigen. En voordat ik ze ga interviewen, spelen ze Palladio. En dat begint met een introductie door Ruben. Nou ja, als je naar Ruben kijkt, dan zie je nog echt een Hollandse kaaskop. En dat was het Palladio van Jenkins. Inmiddels is aangeschoven Dickie Janssen, de trotse grootmoeder, hè, van al deze...
Zeker, ja. Ja, heel trots.
Ja, waarom heel trots?
Nou, ik speel zelf ook muziek en ik vind het natuurlijk heel leuk dat de kleinkinderen ook muziek leren spelen. Maar ik heb geen viool gespeeld, ik speel orgel.
Kijk, kerkorgel. Ja, natuurlijk. Ja. 54 jaar geleden vertrokken jullie naar Canada.
Ja.
Ja, en... Nog altijd verbonden met Nederland?
Ja, wij gaan praktisch ieder jaar naar Nederland, want ik heb mijn oude Hollandje nog erg lief.
Waarom? Is dat niet echt veranderd, dat oude Hollandje?
Het is inderdaad veranderd. Maar ik houd veel van historie. En wij hebben natuurlijk in Nederland een rijke historie, dat is zeker. Maar ik vind het ook heel jammer dat Holland moreel achteruit gaat. En dat doet mij verdriet. Ja.
Want je hebt het geloof, zoals dat zo mooi heet, van de vaderen van de Hervormde Kerk meegenomen.
Ja, en dat is het belangrijkste in ons leven.
Waarom?
Ja, wij zijn geschapen tot Gods glorie. En daar leven we voor. En er komt een eind aan ons leven. En dan is het natuurlijk wel heel belangrijk, niet dat wij de hemel kunnen verdienen, maar dat wij toch in de eerste plaats geschapen zijn om God te dienen.
Ja. Ja. Mooi dat dat van grootmoeder op kinderen, op kleinkinderen overgaat.
Ja, ja, ja. Mijn moeder is net gestorven, 96 jaar. En de laatste 14 dagen hebben wij eigenlijk heel rijk beleefd. Zij heeft alle kleinkinderen die bij haar gekomen zijn, iets meegegeven voor het leven.
Kijk.
De kleintjes ook, het belangrijkste is dat je de Heere dient.
Dickie, hartelijk bedankt. Ik hoop dat je nog vele malen terug mag komen naar dit mooie land waar je je aan verbonden voelt. Ik ook. En je kleinkinderen ook. En ik ga nu naar Lawrence, want hij is de muzikale leider van de Jansen Vijf.
Ja.
Lawrence, you are the oldest of the family, the musical leader of the Jansen Vijf. Is it a hard task with these brothers and sisters?
It's not a very difficult task.
Why not?
They make it very easy. They're all good players, so.
Yeah, and good sisters and brother.
Absolutely.
Ruben is not a pain in the neck?
No, he's pretty easy to work with.
Good. Why does he have the biggest instrument? He's the youngest.
He's got the biggest personality, so.
Okay, good. It's wonderful to make music. Where does that love come from for classical music? How was it born? How were you forced to play the violin, or did you?
Yeah, I think for the most part we were forced to play. I think the love came from my mom, and she was driven and kept us going, and we were able to get a long ways.
So in the beginning you didn't like it, but you had to.
Yeah, we had to do it every day. Every day we practiced. So
look at the result, because you became a little bit jealous when the others had violins, and so your mother made it from a cornflakes box, a kind of fake violin.
Yes.
And then you were happy.
Very happy.
But this is not...
No, this is a viola.
Good. I know. Back to you. You all love to make music, and we love great music in the Crystal Cathedral, part of the Dutch Reformed Church of America, by the way, and... in Canada, you can also see the Hour of Power, like we. You are Canadian Reformed, which is also linked to the Dutch Reformed Church. What does it mean for you to be Christian and living in a Christian family?
It means everything to me. I think it's very comforting that we know that Jesus had died for our sins, and that we have salvation, and we'll be able to go one day and be with our Lord in heaven.
Wow. It's quite a statement. Tell me a little bit about your brother and your sister. Introduce them to me, because we haven't met them yet. We start with the oldest. What's her name?
This is Lydia.
Yeah.
She is a music teacher. This is Rebecca. This is Brianne. And that's Ruben.
Who's closest to your heart?
All of them.
Ooh, that's the right answer. He's not in trouble. Canada is a country that has a lot of Dutch people, mostly in flowers and dairy products.
Yeah.
What's your case? What's your parents doing?
My grandparents started a greenhouse, and my father is also now running that greenhouse, and I work for my dad.
Yeah. So what do you do in the greenhouse?
I'm in sales. I sell the flowers.
You were quite nervous to come here and play for television. How?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah. Did that make you nervous?
A little bit.
Okay. And how do you feel now?
Feeling pretty good.
Okay, good. I have a small gift for you. This is positive prayers for a life of empowerment. So both for you and you. It's in Dutch, Ruben. So you have to learn some Dutch.
Okay.
We give it purposely. And for you, this is a beautiful silver medallion. It's related to Psalm 23, And it says, I'm always with you. And that's our words of Jesus. And he is always with us. I don't let you go without playing another beautiful piece. My favorite is Johann Sebastian Bach. You've heard of him, of course.
Absolutely.
He lived not too far away from here
No.
in his days. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
Yes, it is. What are you willing to play from Johann?
We are going to play Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring.
It's a beautiful piece, and we will enjoy listening.
Ik ben met je. Dat is de kern van de wekelijkse boodschap van Hour of Power. God houdt van u en ik ook. Dat is het hart van Hour of Power. Vindt u het belangrijk dat we iedere week mensen hoop geven? Juist in deze tijd is het zo belangrijk dat dit gehoord wordt op televisie. Uw hulp hebben we nodig om deze hoop uit te dragen. Met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie van geloof, hoop en liefde. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs. Zonder u geen programma. Wilt u donateur worden? Dan ontvangt u van ons dit prachtige welkomstgeschenk. Een bijzonder Bijbels dagboek met een geweldige waarheid. Ik ben met je. Elke dag. Meld u nu aan als nieuwe donateur en steun onze uitzendingen. Ga naar www.hourofpower.nl of bel 035 538 0588. 88. Dit bijzondere dagboek geeft inspiratie voor uw leven, elke dag. Dank u wel voor uw steun.
as we look at the Ten Commandments, as God, as we believe we're supposed to do here at Crystal Cathedral, and also Jesus teaches us to do this through a positive lens, what is it that we're supposed to do? Not only what are we not supposed to do, but what are we supposed to do to have the best life possible? And in this case, of these last two, it would be a good neighbor, be a loving neighbor. That's what you can do to help fulfill those last two commandments on thou shalt not bear false witness and thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. It's about being a good, loving neighbor. As I said in a few weeks ago in Matthew 5:22, Jesus said words can kill. And we have to take that and juxtapose that with this thou shalt not bear false witness, because words have power. Words can bring life, or words can take life. We know that. And bearing false witness can kill reputations, self-esteem, and even the will to live in people. And it can happen through internet, it can happen through phones and text messages, and even just emails, which can be forwarded. But and blogs. There's a lot of cyberbullying that goes on. 1 out of 2 adolescents are being cyberbullied or are bullying others through cyberbullying. It's a serious thing, because the result of cyberbullying is this. It leads to anxiety, depression, and even suicide. And once things have circulated on the internet, they never disappear. They resurface, even years later, renewing the wound and keeping the pain alive. And so what can we do about it? We can't just ignore it. I don't think that we as Christians and as a church can ignore the fact that this plague exists. And I personally cannot preach on not bearing false witness without mentioning it and raising your attention to it and having you notice it and take it seriously, because lives are being lost, reputations are being lost due to cyberbullying. It's gossip. Gossip is bearing false witness. And you know what? A lot of times when we gossip, and I will say we, because I doubt that there's a single person in within the sound of my voice who hasn't participated in gossip once or twice in their life. And gossip is frequently, we think we're telling the truth when we gossip, don't we? We don't mean to, we aren't intentionally trying to tell a false tale or lie about somebody. But a lot of times when we talk about other people behind their back, which is what gossip is, we don't know the whole story. And so people get hurt in the process. But what can we do? We need to look at this through the positive lens. How to not bear false witness, how not to covet your neighbor's things, is to be a good and loving neighbor. We can do that by living the law of loving, by spreading positive gossip. What if we said good things about people? What if we praised them? What if we sent out emails and said, wow, and posted on our Facebook page, I just was at Crystal Cathedral and it was a powerful service. What if we did things like that? What if we posted positive gossip and spread positive gossip about people? That's one way that we can give and love, be a loving, helpful neighbor. I don't know if you heard about the man who was waiting at the bus stop when all of a sudden he was mugged and left bleeding unconscious. Right there in a bus stop on a busy street, and people walked past him and they didn't stop to help him. In fact, one of the people who didn't stop was a theology student. He was riding his bike and he was late for seminary. He had a big final coming up, and he knew that his grade depended on him being there in time to pass his final. And as he saw the man lying there, unconscious and bloody, he thought, oh my goodness, but I can't help him, somebody else will. So he took his bike and he drove across the other side of the street, and he said, and he prayed for him, but rode on. Also, there was a pastor who saw him laying there, and the pastor was in his car and saw that the light was getting ready to turn red. He saw the man, saw the light. He thought, oh my goodness, I've got all these people at church waiting for me for a Bible study tonight, and I'm late for it. And he didn't feel like he could stop either. So he raced, gunned the gas pedal, and went through almost a red light. And he said, I'll make sure that we pray for him when we get to our Bible study. Meanwhile, an illegal immigrant saw the man lying there, and he crossed the street, dodging cars, almost being killed, trying to get to the man to help him. And then he flagged down a policeman, risking being arrested and deported. This illegal immigrant was on his way to work so that his family could have a meal that night, but he gave up work for that day. He risked his life to help save the life of this man who was lying there. Well, I have to tell you, that's not a true story. Aren't you relieved to know that? But what it is I've just tried to do a modern day retelling of a story that Jesus taught about how to be a loving neighbor. In fact, this is the story. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But when he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite." Levites were those who helped the priests. "When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan," in those days, in that context, a Samaritan was a second-class citizen, a non-Jew. "A Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' 'Which of these,'" Jesus said, "'which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Do you want to know how to be a loving neighbor? Jesus has painted a portrait for all of us on how to be a loving neighbor. And then we have to say, but what about my enemies? Am I supposed to love my enemies too? Sheila, I've got a feud going on with my neighbor over a fence. I've got a feud going on with my neighbor because of the dog barking. I've got a feud going on with a colleague because, for whatever reason, they think I'm politicking against them, whatever. But what about our enemies? What about the people who have hurt us? Am I supposed to love them as also? And Jesus said, yes. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. To be a loving neighbor means to love even your enemies and pray for them who persecute you. I see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, walking the Via Dolorosa, and he has that cross on his shoulder, and he is carrying the cross, and people are beating him, they are throwing things at him, they are whipping him, they are hurtling all kinds of evil insults against him. And he just keeps taking one step after another on his way to Calvary, knowing full well what lies ahead of him. And he didn't deserve it at all. And then they put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed nails through his hands and his feet. They hung him and put swords in his side. He did nothing to deserve this. And what did he do? He hung there and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the role model I follow to the best of my ability. I refuse to say anything and behave any other way other than the way that I believe Jesus has taught me to do. I am here to follow my Lord. You see, as I conclude today, our message series on the Ten Commandments, I have to conclude with the cross, because you see, the Ten Commandments are there to help us. They are there. They are the law that God has asked us to obey. And yet, as human beings, we can't. We will fail. We will fall on our face. We will sin. But the good news is that God's grace, because of Jesus Christ, because he picked up the cross, because he walked the Via Dolorosa, because he was crucified, because he is risen from the dead, God's grace erases all of our sin. And so some of you have, as you've listened to this message series, have said, but Sheila, what about me? I've committed adultery. What about me, Sheila? I've stolen. What about me, Sheila? What's going to happen to me? I've told lies. I have borne false witness. What about me, Sheila? What about me? And the good news is that God's grace erases that, and God forgives you. That is his promise. And it's because of the fact that we are saved. We can't save ourselves by obeying the law. The scriptures are very clear on that. That it's not by works, lest any man should boast. It is by grace alone, God's grace alone, that you are saved. So why do we obey? Why do we follow the Ten Commandments? We follow them because we're grateful to God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who saves us. That's why we follow them. So people, the Ten Commandments, are they the way to the best life possible? Yes, but ultimately, the cross. The cross is the way to the best life possible. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, our Heavenly Father. Thank you for your law. Thank you for your law that helps us. Thank you for all it does for us, O Lord. But most of all, we thank you for the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift that you gave him to us to die for us, so that we can be forgiven for every time we break your law and we're unable to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, all the times we're not able to love our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us every day, always. You are the way, Jesus Christ. You are the only way to the best life possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you as you go out and live the life this week. May Christ twinkle out of your eyes, smile through your lips, and people will say, such a kind person. Christ will be glorified. Amen.
Sheila Schuller-Kolman sprak over het onderwerp Heb je naast lief als jezelf? En ik heb genoten van die prachtige muziek van Roger Williams in de Crystal Cathedral en de Janssen 5 hier. En dat was ook natuurlijk geweldig om te zien. Misschien herinner je je nog wel dat een paar maanden geleden Wilma Veen hier stond met een aantal schilderijen. Dat ze, terwijl het programma zich ontwikkelde, ook een schilderij zich ontwikkelde. Dat is klaar. Dat gaat ook over dat thema naastenliefde. En als u er meer van wilt weten, kijk dan op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Daar kunt u ook downloaden, bijvoorbeeld het gebed van de dag, de bemoediging van de dag en veel meer informatie over wie we zijn en wat we doen. We wensen iedere kijker een hele goede zondag toe en we hopen tot volgende week. Ja.